Well, these few weeks leading up to Pentecost Sunday, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. Last week we began, and then this morning we're going to talk a little bit more about that, only today in context of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says these words. He says, "Take heart, you are an overcomer." But sometimes it doesn't feel like that, does it? Some days I don't feel like an overcomer, and I'm sure you don't either. There's bills to pay, there may be debt, the boss is on your case, there's sales goals to meet, reports to do, family demands, sickness perhaps, maybe soreness, problems that have no easy solutions. Sometimes it's hard to take heart. Sometimes what we really want is for a superhero to swoop in and just solve it all for us and figure it out for us. You know, it's interesting that ticket sales in theaters are down and have been for kind of a steady decline for many years, with the exception of one genre. And some of you probably were a part of that a few weeks ago. You know what genre of movies it is? You know, the superheroes, right. The Avengers Endgame a few weeks ago came out, and if you were a part of that first weekend, if you were in the theaters, you were part of history. That movie broke 12 box office records in one weekend. Among those was the greatest number of sales in one weekend, over $1 billion worldwide for a movie. So people are looking for a superhero. they're looking for someone to come in and save the world, to fight evil, and to overcome injustice. When I was a kid, I lived and breathed Superman. Do we have any Superman, kind of closet Superman? Yeah, okay. I had his comic books. I had his poster on my wall, the Christopher Reeve poster. And then every afternoon, I would watch an episode up on Channel 4 out of Indianapolis. They would have, after school, they would have the black and white, and then later color, George Reeves Superman. You remember that one? Oh, that was great. I even had Superman underoos, but that's probably too much information. I dreamed of saving the world from bad guys, of saving the lady in distress. I even jumped off my dog's doghouse with a towel behind me. And I'm sure I wasn't alone in thinking I was a superhero as a kid. Of course, that was all in my head. Eventually, we have to grow up and put aside those kind of fantasies, and we must realize that being a hero in the real world is a whole totally different proposition. There are heroes in the real world, but it's a totally different kind of hero. And we find from our scripture today that the key in life is figuring out how to take heart and have courage to act, even though we're in a season of grief and sorrow. So the key to life, in being a hero, is to learn to take heart and to find courage even when you are in a season of grief and sorrow. And we come in and out of those seasons of grief and sorrow. Few of us will ever have the opportunity to save someone from a burning building or to save someone who's dangling from one hand from a bridge. Hopefully you never have to do that. But Jesus is not looking for larger-than-life heroes. He's looking for everyday heroes. He's looking for everyday disciples who live by faith, and it's a faith that's grounded in the Holy Spirit. And just as Jesus said what happened in our scripture this morning, we're all scattered about. All of us are scattered to some degree in our disconnected and somewhat lonely lives. We all find ourselves living with grief and sorrow. But Jesus tells his disciples this. He says, not to be defeated in your grief and in your sorrow. Instead, he tells them, take heart, for I have overcome the world. Or as Douglas Horton said, be your own hero. It's cheaper than a movie ticket. The world needs everyday heroes. Everyday heroes who take heart even in their own struggles, knowing that they've overcome the world in Christ. And in just a moment, we're going to talk about how we do that. But first of all, I want to make a point. And I think this is important for all of us to realize. Our lives are not building up to some fantastic culmination where we will all have an amazing chance to be a superhero, the kind that show up on the big screen. There's not a single day coming in your life when on that day you will know that you have arrived and that you'll be validated, that your life will be validated. That day is not coming. You will not have a graduation party when you turn 85 or 90 years old and you'll be handed a certificate that says, "You made it! You arrived! You are now validated!" It just doesn't happen in life. Every day, instead, every day is the opportunity to validate your commitment. Every day is your opportunity to take heart and to be an overcomer. Every day is your calling, your spiritual vocation to take heart. So in your comings and goings, opportunities will be placed before you to take heart. And oftentimes, and typically, at least in my experience, is they come in the form of an inconvenience or a badly timed, unfortunate circumstance that takes place just when you're planning on doing something else. But an opportunity arrives for you to take heart and be a hero, to take courage, to have courage and be a hero. So the first point is, there's not going to be a point in your life, there's not going to be an opportunity in your life where you're going to finally be validated. Every day you're validating your life in Christ. Another point about heroes is everyday heroes do not stop. Everyday disciples do not stop at good theology, but not put it into practice. Jesus is not primarily looking for disciples who have this solid doctrine. I mean, you're solid in your doctrine, figured out in your head, but then you don't manifest that doctrine into your life. You don't practice it in your life. What Jesus is looking for is the everyday variety of a disciple, the one who puts into practice every day a little bit more of the way of Jesus. So that means that we're supposed to be faithful in the little stuff. The little stuff every day. And that practice of holiness over time in the little things, one after another, begins to build your character. And it begins to build a life of virtue. And when you build that store of character and that store of virtue in your life, it buttresses that ability. It is a bulwark for that ability to take heart and to muster up courage in a season of grief and sorrow. Now, Jesus' chief foils in the Gospels, I've mentioned this before, were the priests and the Levites. Jesus was always coming across the priests and Levites, and they were sort of the counter idea to who Jesus was and what he was about. And the priests and the Levites were of the first mind that I spoke of. They carried around in their heads this beautiful, holy idea of God. They had the most beautiful, holy idea of God that there ever was, but it was just that. It was an idea in their mind. They carried around in their heads this notion of purity. But pure thought is of no value if it doesn't translate into acts of service and deeds of purity, mercy, and hands and feet of compassion. So pure ideas that don't translate into dirt on the hands is a pretty thing, but it's of no use to the kingdom of God. So in this sense, Jesus isn't so much interested in what you believe as opposed to what you have faith in. There's a difference between believing in Jesus and having faith in Jesus. Jesus said that the demons believe and they shudder, but the demons don't have faith in Jesus. They don't trust in God, and there's a difference. Belief is a product of the mind. Faith is a product of the spirit. And so to trust in God means we have to have the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to take heart, to muster up courage. In fact, the root of the word heart and courage are the same. We get the word coronary from that root. So courage and take heart are the same thing. So when Jesus is telling you and his disciples, in the midst of your grief and in your sorrow, take heart. He's saying, have courage, man. Life is hard. You'll be in the midst of a season of distress and grief, but don't give up. Take heart. Have courage. I have overcome, and so will you. The question is, how do I do that? That sounds great. Read it again to me so I can hear it, but how do I do it? How do I learn to take heart? And we find throughout the Gospels, especially as Jesus is preparing to ascend into heaven and he's preparing his disciples over and over again in those Gospel readings, the secret, the power of learning to take heart and having courage in difficult times in your life is by breathing in the Holy Spirit and being overcome and overtaken and filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, when Jesus, in another gospel, before he leaves his disciples, it says he breathes the Holy Spirit into them, and they take in the Holy Spirit. So if we're going to learn how to take heart and be courageous and be an everyday hero in our life, then it's going to come through the powerful and the bountiful and the courage-producing Holy Spirit. And so the everyday hero, the everyday disciple, is someone who's open to the Spirit. And they let the Spirit guide them. Let the Spirit guide their lives. Someone once said that there is a superhero in all of us. We just need the courage to put on the cape. And that kind of courage to put on the cape is only possible in the Spirit. And how do we get that Spirit? Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians that it's a power and a courage that you wear. Our courage comes from God, and it comes from allowing the Holy Spirit to be present in our lives and to breathe into us and for us to live in a mindful awareness of always being in the Spirit. We should always be living and moving and having our being in an awareness and a mindfulness of the Spirit. And that Spirit will give you courage. That Spirit will tell you what to say. That Spirit will tell you what to do when we're walking in a mindfulness and an awareness of the Holy Spirit. But too many of us have God in our head, but we don't have God throughout every fiber of our body. We say, oh, I believe, but the demons believe. But belief is just the beginning. It's faith. And faith comes when we allow ourselves to be filled and directed and guided by the Holy Spirit. That's when your life really begins to change. That's when God really begins to speak with your life and begins to change you and create bring about the kingdom of God through His actions through your life. That's what only when we begin to live and breathe and move and have our being in the Holy Spirit. Paul says this in Ephesians Chapter 6, beginning with verse 13, he talks about it being the full armor of God. So we wear the Spirit. We wear the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he says, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now notice these parts of how the Spirit will work in our lives. There's going to be truth. You've got to stick to the truth in your life and not be a person of dishonesty. So the truth buckled around your waist. The breastplate of righteousness in place. So living upright in your life. And then with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So you have a peaceful disposition. In addition to all this, Paul says, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So as life comes at you, And life comes at you, and it could result in distress, and it could result in grief and in sorrow. Paul says, "Put up the breastplate, the shield of faith. Put up the shield of faith, and it will counter the world as it comes to you." And so, the Holy Spirit will be that shield against the world, so that you will not be defeated. And then Paul says, "Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit," which is the Word of God. Know what's in the Scriptures and live them. And pray in the Spirit, he says, in all occasions. Now, this is that constant mindfulness of the presence of God in your life. Praying in all occasions. From the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep, working to be conscious that you are in the presence of God and that you are wearing the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is pouring into you and desiring to pour out of your life. And then God will provide the strength and the courage. But you have to wear it. You have to put it on. We have a responsibility in our faith. Our faith response is to say, "Yes. Yes, Lord, I will take in your Spirit. Yes, Lord, I will walk and live in the Spirit of God." Why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we say yes to the Lord? Well, because there's this other part of us that wants to be in full control. Who doesn't want to be in control, right? Who doesn't want to be the boss? We don't want to give up, because we don't want to give up that control, because the Spirit will lead you and guide you into places and into conversations and into behaviors and into a life that may be different than what the old self wanted. And so that's why there's this notion in the spiritual life of dying to yourself, so that you might be born again. You remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus under the cover of darkness, and he said, "Well, how can I be born again?" And Jesus said, "You must be born in the Spirit." But Nicodemus had a whole lot to die to, and you and I do as well, before we say yes to God. Are you willing to say no to yourself in order to say yes, so that you might learn to take heart? Because life is hard. I know you didn't come here today to hear that, because you already knew that. Life is hard. And we need the full armor of God, protecting our mind and our body and our souls in this world of evil, if we're to learn how to take heart and to live the hero's courageous life. And when you are in the Spirit, here's something interesting Jesus says to his disciples in that reading from today. When you are in the Spirit, you will want what God wants. When you walk mindful of God and God's Spirit in you, and you let that Spirit lead you, you will, as Paul said, you will take on the mind of Christ. And what you think is what Christ is thinking, and what Christ is thinking is what you are thinking. So Jesus could say so much with confidence to his disciples, "If you walk in the Spirit, whatever you ask, it's yours." Because he knew you wouldn't ask selfishly. He knew you wouldn't ask from a spirit of the world. But if the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding you, whatever the Spirit asks through you, the Spirit is God, and God's going to say yes to God. But Jesus says, be in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. "Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." And so I'll close with this. It takes practice. It takes discipline. Thus the name disciples. The gift is free. But you got to open the gift. And you got to pull it out of the box. And you got to begin to apply it to your life. The gift is free, but if we want it to change our lives, we have to begin to practice the presence of the Spirit, practice being aware of the Spirit in our lives. And that's why Paul says over and over, pray without ceasing, give thanks always. To get to that place where the psalmist speaks of the deep speaking to the deep, or calling unto the deep. Or if you want to get to that place where Paul says in Romans 8 that the Spirit prays for me. Or if you want to get to that place in Luke where Jesus says, do not worry what to say because the Spirit will tell you what to say. If you want to get to that place, it takes practice. It takes discipline. But when you're ready, to begin walking mindful of God's presence in your life and to allow that Spirit to begin to transform you and to tell you what to say and to tell you what to do, even if it's against your own agenda and your own plan for your life, when you're ready for that, it begins to change. As Emerson said, once you make a decision, the universe conspires to make it happen. Once you decide for the Spirit's like, let's do this, let's go. Let's change your life. Let's begin to be that new person that when you accepted Christ and said, I put my faith in Christ, when you said that, now the Spirit has control of you and now it's manifesting in your life. And once you decide for Christ and you begin to walk in His way, the Spirit comes upon you and you begin learning the mind of Christ and the ways of God. And then no matter what your grief or your sorrow, the Spirit emboldens you to take heart and to have courage. And that frees you to be a hero every day for those who God puts in your life. There are people that are counting on you to walk in the Spirit. They may not put it in those words, but they're counting on you. And as we walk in the Spirit, God gives us the strength. Christ has overcome the world. And so can you. Do you believe that? Christ has overcome the world. And so can you. Let's pray together. Father, so good to be into your word this morning. To hear the words of your Son Jesus tell us, take heart, have courage, for I have overcome the world. Father, if we would just take that one phrase with us, how much we could overcome even in our season of distress and grief. Teach us to walk in the Spirit with a mindfulness and an awareness of your power and your presence within us so that we can keep saying yes more and more each day. And then be transformed into a people of courage and of hope. A strong people wearing the armor of you, our God. And we pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.